to be able to stand and preach the Word of God here tonight. And I appreciate Brother Ken, and he's been a friend to me, and I definitely appreciate that. Eternity, I'll only be able to tell what he means to me. And his whole family, they've been a friend to me and my family, and I appreciate it. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 12, and I'll give you just a moment to turn there, and we'll read a few verses of Scripture and get right into what I believe the Lord has for us here tonight. And we'll be mindful of your time. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 12, when you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Let us pray. Father, we love you tonight. God, we thank you for this opportunity to come to your house and to worship you. And God, we thank you for being able to live in a country where we can still do this freely. God, may you continue to bless our nation. God, in the dark times, may you continue to lead the church. God, we pray tonight that you would hide us behind the cross. God, don't let us say nothing that we don't need to say, but all things that you'd have us to say here tonight. We love you and we thank you, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Here, as we come to this passage of Scripture, we find a very familiar phrase and one that I want us to look at here in verse number 17. That phrase, "in Christ," that's what I want to look at tonight, what I want to deal with. And as we look at this, we find where Paul uses this quite a number of times. And it may not be that phrase in particular, but some of its equivalents. Paul uses it some 130 times throughout his writings where he's talking about being in Christ. And to use a phrase or its equivalents that much, Paul feels strongly about being in Christ. And we'll deal with this thought, and we look at Paul's writings in the book of Romans. In Christ we're justified. And in 1 and 2 Corinthians, in Christ we are sanctified. And in Galatians we have liberty in Christ. In Ephesians we have joy in Christ. In Colossians we are complete in Christ, and in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians we are glorified in Christ. So this little phrase, "in Christ," has a great big meaning. It means something to Paul, and it as we look at and examine these few verses here, I want us to see the process of where Paul's headed, where he's coming from to get to this phrase, "in Christ," and what he's trying to show us here. There are some similarities, there are some places that Paul is at that we can all identify with. And I believe if we'll look at them, we can see ourselves in those. Number one, I want you to see this. In verse number 12, I want you to see that being in Christ, he can control us. When we're in Christ, He has control over us. We have to be careful as when we're saved, that we have to give Him our everything. We have to turn it all over to Him. And we find Paul here, and he's in a place that I believe we can all identify with, where Paul is being misunderstood by what he's saying, and he's having to clarify these things. They're not understanding that Paul has been changed, that Paul's a new man, that Paul's a new creature. In his statements here, in verse number 12, he's talking about himself, and he's trying to point people to Christ, but they're not understanding what he's trying to tell them. We find Paul in this place that we've placed someone else in, where we won't listen to them. And I don't know about you men, but I know about me, that my wife thinks that I don't understand what she's saying, but the whole problem is she won't listen to what I'm saying. Can I get a witness? But the problem is we're like Paul, and we place people in that position where we won't hear them out and hear what they're trying to say. Paul is trying to tell them, look, I'm not trying to say, look at me. I'm not trying to say, glory in me. But I'm trying to point us to a place and point us to a man that can change you like he changed me. Paul's trying to show them these things, and Paul no longer is about himself. At one time, we know the story and the life of Paul, and we know that Paul was a whole lot about him. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm confident in me. I like me. But at the same time, we as believers, we as Christians have a job to do, and if what we're doing is not pointing people to Him, we're failing miserably at what we're supposed to be doing. And Paul is trying to tell them, I'm no longer pushing my own agenda. I'm no longer pushing against God. I'm no longer going against the things of God, but I'm going with Him, and I want you to go with me. Paul mentions here about his fear of God, and how and being people hear us say that in the church world about fearing God, and they think, oh, why are you scared of God? Why would we not be scared of God? Why would we not have a fear for a man that has the power that God has? And Paul's trying to show them that, and Paul is trying to tell them, I am now controlled by someone that's far bigger than me or you. I'm now controlled by someone that has all power in heaven and in earth. Paul said, I'm controlled because I'm in Christ. Their misunderstanding of Him. Then I want you to notice this right here. Being in Christ will constrain us. It'll hold us back. I say in my prayer, Lord, don't let me say anything that I don't need to say. And the reason I do that is because I know me. And I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes I say things that I probably shouldn't say, and after I say them, they're there. You know, you can, there's a lot of things you can take back. But once those words have been spewed out, they're there. And they've done the damage, and you can say I'm sorry all you want to, but there's no fixing that. Paul says it'll constrain you. It'll hold you back. And he says this. He says, not only did the death of Christ do something for me, but the death of Christ done something for everybody else too. Not only did He die for me, but He died as me. And when we look at that and we realize that He done something that you or I could not do, He done it because He was the only one that was able. It'll change us. It'll make us begin to think there's something bigger than you and I. There's something bigger than our will holding us and keeping us where we are. I have being thankful for the life that God's given me is don't even scratch the surface. God's blessed me with a godly mother and a godly father, and I don't know nothing but church. I've never been on the outside. I've always been on the inside. This is the first time in my life that I've ever been able to just to come to church and enjoy church. I've not had a job to do. Not that I regret it at all. I've always been on the inside, and I'm thankful for that. But I've thought a million times, what if I'd have been born to someone else? What if the life that God gave me was not this one? What if I never knew what the things of God was? What if I never knew what church was? Where would I be? Everybody has that opportunity. And God has blessed us to be able to be a part of this. Paul was changed. He was now living for others. He's on this side of Calvary. He's on the grace side of Calvary now. And he's seeing things a whole lot different than he used to. Here's a good illustration. We go back to the book of Joshua, chapter number 3, chapter number 4. Children of Israel is being led out of Egypt. And they come to the Jordan River. And man, this is a great story. I love it. And as they come to the Jordan River, Israel has been redeemed out of Egypt. They've been brought out of Egypt. And they're standing there, and many times throughout the Word of God, we find the River Jordan where it is referred to as a river of death. And they come up to that, and there's a lot of things in front of them. There's promises in front of them. There's victory in front of them. All the things that God has told them about is there in front of them. And they've got misery and defeat and disappointment and all these bad things behind them. And the only thing standing in between them and that is the River Jordan, the river of death. And God tells, God tells Joshua, says, Joshua, here's what's going to take place. That man that is carrying the ark, that priest that's carrying the ark, said when he passes by, tell him not to get too close. And said, let him go to that River Jordan, and as his feet touch the brim of the river, said those waters are going to stop. And said that then they'll all be able to pass over on dry ground. But said, I want you to do something. Said, I want them to pick up some rocks. And I want them to carry them to the middle of that river where the priest stands, and I want them to put them there. But I want them to pick up some more rocks and take them to the other side. And once the ark and the people had passed over, those waters came back over and it covered those rocks. May I say this to you tonight? I'm thankful that no matter how bad things have been, no matter what our past may have been, we can always turn around and look, and we may be able to see where we've been, but we can't see what we've done. And he covered that with that water. And those children of Israel built that monument there, that when their children asked what mean these stones, they could tell them that God delivered us. God held true to His Word. God promised us these things, and there they are. Paul said, being in Christ is much, much more than just getting saved. It's much, much more than just being a church member. There's more to being in Christ than just being who we are. Paul's telling them it'll constrain you. It'll hold you. There's joy, there's triumph, there's things on the other side of that river that is unbelievable. I like what Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me, and the life which I now live, by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. I'm thankful that we are a new creature in Christ. We're somebody new. In Christ, we can pass from death unto life. In Christ, we can pass through that death. I've never experienced that point of death in my life. I know those that have. They've been at the very brink of death. They're fixing to cross over, and for some reason, God needs to keep them here. For some reason, God's got a purpose for them here on this side. And may I say that you and I, when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, as though Paul was, but the only thing that kept us from passing on was the grace of God and Him constraining us and keeping us. Notice in verse number 16, it says this, wherefore hence know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we Him no more. Here we see that he had built and formed an opinion of who Christ was. Paul is looking at him differently. Now we're talking before Paul meets him in a personal way. before Paul ever sees him with his own eyes. I've never seen him in person, but I sure have seen a lot of things that resemble him. I've never laid my eyes on him. I truly believe what the Bible says, that no man can see his face and live, but I sure have seen a lot of things that remind me of him. And it sure has done my heart good, and I'm thankful for the day that I knelt at an old-fashioned altar and I met him for myself. A lot of folks think, well, you believe what you believe because who your daddy is. My daddy has pastored in Carroll County for, I don't know, how many years did he say? A long time. And longer than I've been alive, he's pastored here in Carroll County and in a few other places. But I could ride on his coattail if I wanted to, just because daddy believed it. But there had to come a time where I met him for myself. And Paul changed. He said, we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. We met Him after His ascension. We met Him in a way that can't be described. Paul met Him, and it changed his whole life. And it changed his opinion of Him. Have y'all ever done this? Have y'all ever heard somebody talk about somebody? You didn't know them, didn't have a clue who they was, and somebody talked about them so bad, you thought, this is the worst person in the world. And then you met them and you're thinking, something's not wrong with them, the one that was telling me there was something wrong with them. They're the ones that need to get right, not this person. Be careful how we form our opinions. Paul had done that about Christ till he met Him for himself. Then that brings us to verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. When we're in Christ, He'll construct us. We sing the song when we're a little kid, He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. I'm a whole lot bigger now and there's a whole lot more to work on. But He's still working on me. There's still things going on me daily that He has to change, that He has to shape up, and He has to do a work. And that should be our goal, that should be our theme, that He's still working on me. Paul says He'll construct us. Notice what it says here. He says He is a new creature. A new creation. And as we look at that, I want us to notice this, that most of the time if there's a new, there had to be an old. There's a new something, there was an old something that they formed it off of. It's kind of like these new, I ain't going to get on this, but I'll say these new Bibles, they had to come off something with it, and I'll let the pastor deal with that. But they had to have something to base it off of, amen. And as we look at this, a new creature, the creation, man was God's prized creation. Man, that was His masterpiece. Because He made him, the Bible says, in our own image. I believe that was in the image of God. The Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. It's how He formed man to be like. So we go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and we look at this. And let's read it here. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it for you. The Bible says, and the earth was without form, or in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I still believe that. Amen. I don't believe it was a big bang. I don't believe it was any of that stuff. I believe God spoke it into existence. And in verse number 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I want to compare us. I believe that we, when we were lost, when we didn't know God, we was without form, and we was void of understanding. We was void of God. And then it says that little phrase right there, and the Spirit of God moved. I'm glad that word moved right there, the Spirit moved, literally means that the Spirit of God moved and it hovered over that void and it hovered over the face of the deep and over those waters. And I'm thankful for the day that the Holy Spirit of God moved on me when I was void of understanding. And He hovered over me and He changed me and He created me to be who I need to be. And He still still working on me. But it don't stop right there. It continues on. He said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. He separated us. He's called on us to be a separated people. We're to be individuals of Him. We're to be separated from the world, not of the things of the world, but the things of Him. And here He says, and God saw the light, that it was good. What He done on the inside of us, He liked it. And what we do to mess it up, He don't like. It's simple. It's not hard. It's simple as that. That He likes what He does and not what we do. The creation of man. When God created us, it was in His image. We are created in Christ. Then I want you to notice this. That construction part, we must consist of Christ to be in Christ. We must consist of Him. In Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 17, a pretty familiar passage of Scripture there. And it says this. Let me get turned over there real quick. Colossians chapter number 1 and verse number 17. It says this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Everything that we do must be centered around Him. I've married a few couples in my ministry, and when I sit them down and I talk to them, and I've had a couple of them say, well, what do you want us to tell you about marriage? I said, nothing. Let me tell you what God has to say about it. Amen? And I say, if your marriage does not consist of God, if it does not function around Him, it will crumble. It will fall if you do not allow it to consist of Him. We think about this. I don't know about y'all, but I like to eat. Can y'all see that? Amen. And I like to eat. And when you think about a cake, and you're baking a cake, and I'm not a baker, I'm not a cook, I'm not any of that, but I do know what it's supposed to taste like. Amen. And if it don't have flour in it, it ain't going to taste right. It ain't going to be much of a cake if it don't have flour. A cake must consist of flour. That's a main ingredient in it. Tea must consist of sugar. Amen. I know some of you can't help it. Y'all got to drink unsweet tea. But sweet tea is where it's at. It's got to have sugar and a lot of it. I mean, it ought to be like syrup pouring it out of the pitcher. It's got to consist of the right things. Well, we live in the South. Everything must consist of salt. Can I get a witness? You don't even taste test it. You just dump it out, pour salt all over it. Amen? And the consistency of things, it must have these ingredients in it for it to be what it's supposed to be. Our life must have Christ in it if we intend on it to be right. Our life must consist of Christ so that we can be in Christ. Must have all the correct ingredients. To be in Christ is more than just being encircled with Him. I'm not much of a circle person. I tend to break the circle because I'm different. I'm weird. A lot of people don't like me, and that's fine. I'm not in a popularity contest, but I don't like circles. And I love you, preacher, because he ain't a circle preacher. Y'all know about them circle preachers. If you don't let them preach for you, then you can't preach for them, and then you don't get to preach. And I'm thankful that your pastor is not a circle preacher. But there's circles, and you gotta be real sweet to them in order to be in their circle, and you gotta follow their direction to be in their circle. That's not being encircled with Christ. He wants us to be, being in Christ is being ensphered. You can step out of a circle. You can break the circle, but when you're in Christ, you're enclosed of Him. He's got all of it, all the way around, top to bottom, side to side. Here's a good example. We see Moses, and he's dealt with those Israelites. And they've done the things that they shouldn't have, and he had been up on the mountain dealing with God, and God had been dealing with him, and he comes down and he sees all this madness, and he throws the tablets down and breaks them. And he tells God, he said, God, I'm in a bad way, I need to see your glory. And here's what being in sphered with Christ means. He said, "Well, I tell you what, you can't see my face and live." He said, "But I'm gonna hide you in the cleft of the rock." And he said, "I'm gonna cover you with my hand, that until my glory passes by, then I'll remove it so you can see my hinder part." So he places him in that cleft, and he's covered in rock all the way around. He's protected. He cannot go any way but fall into the hand of God when he falls. Being enclosed, being encased, being ensphered with Christ. We see Noah and his family. God places them on the ark, and he protects them. He covers them side to side. And here's the thing. When you're in a circle, things can break, things can fall out. When you're covered, you've got everything on the inside that you need, just like Noah and his family. They had every need supplied. They didn't have to want for food. They didn't have to want for nothing to drink. They didn't have to want for clothes. They had it. Every need that they had was supplied to them. And not one drop of water fell on them. Some say, "Well, I try to serve God and it all falls apart. Everything don't go right." I believe this just from my life. I believe God does things and allows us to be places so that we can help others. Because I can tell you what it's like, what I believe it's like to be an alcoholic or a drug addict, but I've never been there. I don't know. But there may be some here that do. But I can tell you what it's like to live in a pastor's home and see my daddy go through hell. I can tell you about that. I can tell you what it's like to live and be a pastor or a youth pastor and have to deal with certain things because I've been there. God lets us go through things. Even though we're protected, even though we have every need supplied, we still have to go through some things. But we can still be in Christ. Being in Christ covers us. Communism says this, and then I'll be done. Communism says this. They take a man that is homeless, has nothing, he's living in rags, and communism says this: we can put that man in a new suit. You can also put lipstick on a pig. But this is what Christ says: in me, I'm put a new man in the suit. That's who we are. God and His Son, Jesus Christ, has taken us and has picked us up from where we was, and He's put us in a new suit. Being in Christ means that old man has passed away. New creation has come. God's worked on us. God's still working on us. And being in Christ, we are a new creature. We're a new creation. We're not who we used to be. May not be what we was, but we're not who we used to be. It's not about the past. It's about the future. In Christ, we are a new creature. Old things are passed away. Father, we love You. We thank You and we praise You for Your Word. God, I pray that it's been a blessing. God, I pray that it's touched hearts. God, may it help us and encourage us to go forward for You. Lord, we love You and we thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.